art and culture in times of war and displacement. For decades, Sudan has been plagued by political instability, and in recent years it has faced a massive humanitarian and political crisis. The war has displaced millions of people, and many cultural workers have been forced to flee to Egypt, the Gulf States, or Europe, among other places. Yet new networks are emerging in the diaspora. Musicians are organizing concerts, founding collectives, and keeping cultural traditions alive. Particularly noticeable is the rise of Sudanese hip-hop. Artists blend political rap with regional sounds and speak openly about violence, hope, and social change. Music thus becomes documentation, protest, remembrance. It represents a generation of Sudanese artists who, despite war, displacement, and uncertainty, continue to work, continue to compose, and to find new ways to tell stories. Welcome to the VIDC podcast Blickwechsel. My name is Sibylle Straubinger and I'm the director of the Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation. And today's conversation focuses on music, exile, cultural memory and the power of artistic collaboration. With the Sudanese singer, songwriter and performer Hiba El-Shisouli. Hiba is an artist in residence at Kulturen in Bewegung, the cultural initiative of the VIDC, and during her stay in Austria, she's working on new music, collaborating with local artists and presenting her debut album, Moya Vana, Water and Fire. In this episode, we discuss Hiba's artistic practice, the role of music in Sudan, exile and the diaspora, and what an artist residence in Austria can achieve. It's great to have you here, Hiba. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Sibylle.
Hiba, you recently arrived a few days ago in Vienna and will be living and working here until mid-July.
Yes. Actually, beginning of August.
Beginning of August.
Yes.
Okay. How was your arrival so far?
It was beautiful. I'm enjoying myself so far. I'm feeling comfortable in my little apartment. And I went to one park. I went to Karlsplatz?
Yes.
Karlsplatz. It's beautiful. I went there and I laid down and I was looking at the sky. I'm enjoying the nature so far. And the city is beautiful. It's colorful. Transportation is easy.
Yeah, great. And you brought the summer with you.
Yes.
That's great. The residency program promotes international artistic collaboration and intercultural dialogue. And the goal is to connect artists from the global south with the local scene and facilitate new projects. So what interests you personally about such collaborations and what does it mean to you and to work in a new city?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great learning experience for me. You know, connecting with artists from different places in the world, that alone, you know, is huge. You get to understand somebody else's work style, what they're into, what they have been influenced by. I'm excited to learn also about the music here. How are there like different rhythms, some old stuff. So yeah, I'm excited for learning. And being in a new city, I mean, a new country. Yeah, as I said, I'm soaking in all the visuals that I'm seeing, all the nature that I'm seeing. And having 3 months to be a full-time artist, that sounds like a dream. And it came in the perfect time for me to be able to just bring all the ideas that I have been, you know, storing for the past, I don't know, let's say 4 years, and to kind of do a real step towards that. And yeah, it's a great opportunity.
So yeah, grateful. That's great. We're also very happy to have you here.
Thank you.
You already collaborated with an Austrian singer-songwriter last year in Cairo with Oscar. Yes, at the Cultural Forum in Cairo.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yes, I was contacted by Caroline from the Austrian Cultural Center in Cairo. And They told me about this opportunity. I was so excited. I've lived in Cairo for a long time, but I rarely connect with people who are not from Egypt. So that alone, I was like, let's see how this is going to be like. And also in the plan that they had was for us to perform at the Opera House. Mm-hmm. So this is also so great. Mm-hmm. Our collaboration was so, what is it? We had a really short time. We had two days, I think, to come up with something. And we worked together. I was amazed by her vocal abilities. She's such a sweetheart. But also, like, musically, the way that she sings is like as if it's, what is it, edited. Mm-hmm. Her voice comes out as if it's edited. It's so, so crazy. But she's also a hardworking person. That was so nice to be around her. And we tried to, you know, merge our worlds a little bit in such a few times. We are different type of artists. Our music is different. But we met somewhere.
Yes, yeah. You did. I listened to it. I saw the video.
Yes,
online. It was very nice.
Thank you.
So in your music, you blend traditional Sudanese sounds with electronic and experimental elements. Mm. So what music influenced you as you were growing up and how did you find your own sound?
Yes, this is such a great question because there's so much into like the answer of this question. So there's music that I chose to listen to and music that I didn't choose to listen to. Mm-hmm. And they both influenced who I am today as a musician. So growing up, my own choices were, let's say in my early teenage years, I was choosing to listen to Sudanese artist called Nuri Jaylani. And Nuri Jaylani is such an icon. What attracted me to him so much is his live performance. When he is performing live, he's free. And I feel like this is something that attracts me so much because I'm eager to be a free artist on stage. And I feel like growing up, when I'm looking at music performances, live performances on TV, I feel like it's sometimes too stiff. But when Nuri Jaylani is performing, he's free. So that's an artist that I liked. Even if I was just listening to a few songs of his, but I loved him so much. And then there's another artist who is a friend of the family. His name is Asim Al-Tayyib. He's an incredible artist. He makes music, you know, from... Because Sudan is so diverse. We have so many rhythms. We have so many dialects. So Asim Al-Tayyib kind of... He has projects where he takes you into a journey through, you know, the whole Sudan. Just with music. So these were my choices. And then Ethiopian music is a big influence also. Ethiopian music. Okay. Yes, I was listening to a lot of Hay Manud Grima. And my sister Sally actually introduced me to it. And then I would choose to listen. Yes. And then, yeah, growing also my late like teenage years, I was listening to, of course, pop, mainstream American music. I was listening to Beyonce, Rihanna, Michael Jackson in the past also because my brothers were obsessed with him. Mariah Carey. So, and these also influenced me. And then not by choice, my mother would listen to, she knows every Sudanese artist there is to exist. She's such a music lover. And she likes also to discover musicians. So sometimes when I was younger, I would listen to what she listens to and I'm like complaining. I feel like this doesn't speak to me or I don't feel it. I feel like the words are too big or too sophisticated for me. But all of these elements really influenced me so much because when I was, let's say, 14 years old and I'm beginning to write my own music, not lyrics, but music, it came out, you know, so Sudanese also. You know, not lyrically. Lyrically, I'm writing in English and I'm talking about my friends. But then musically, it's the pentatonic scale, which is a huge element in Sudanese music. And it just feels so Sudanese without forcing it, mm-hmm. you know, at a young age. So I love that.
Okay, a lot of influences.
Yes.
Yeah. You were also co-founder of Salut Yal Bannout.
Salut Yal Bannout, yes.
Bannout. Salut al-Banout. If you translate it, it means respect to the girls.
Yes.
And it was the first all-female band in Khartoum. Mm-hmm. So how did this project come about and what did it mean to make music together as women in Sudan?
Yes, this was a great project to be a part of. Salut al-Banout. Banout means girls in Sudanese dialect, but how... like our grandmothers would say girls, mm-hmm. you know. Me, I would say banat, but like the old women would say banut. It's like an old word. So this project, I saw a call for applicants for a workshop that was happening in the Goethe Institute. Mm-hmm. I believe that was in 2016 or 2015. And it was asking for all women. There was also another one for all men or boys. So the one for all women, it was led by an African-American artist. Her name is Akouan Aru. She's an amazing hip-hop artist, also poet. And then we kind of just started to think of who can be in this band. At the same time, I was in Ahfad University for Women. It's a university for all women in Sudan, in Umm Durman, where I went to. And there was a music club led by a really important Sudanese artist. His name is Mamdouh Tahir Farid. And he was, you know, practicing music, teaching some girls music, like a drummer, a bassist, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I used to go there just to sing. So these girls, we invited them to go to the workshop. And then we just created this band. And there were other singers and lovers of music. We had different experience when it comes to music. Some of us were doing it for a long time. Some of us just did it for a hobby. So it was really diverse in that sense also. Mm-hmm. And another sense of we had girls from the southwestern side of Sudan, the east. So it was also diverse this way. And visually mm-hmm. we look different. Mm-hmm. I mean, like from, we were all unique. So it was great. And Akua was talking to us a lot about there was so much women empowerment in a workshop. It wasn't just, let's make music. I expected it to be like, okay, dinner, like, you know, kind of academic, but it wasn't. It was, she kind of spoke to our souls. And or if I speak about myself, it really spoke to me what she was saying. We were having a lot of discussions and there was so much women empowerment and talking about things that sometimes it's hard for us to talk about, like racism and things. She opened up some topics mm-hmm. and we had the chance to discuss as a group and be vulnerable. And I would say the great thing also about it for me was kind of planting that passion of being like angry about something or mm-hmm. like want to stick up for like women rights. So this was, I mean, I had this from my family, but also this way from Akua was great, you know. I had this period of time where I could express that.
Yeah. So your music often addressed double standards towards women.
Yeah.
And the first single from your album, Moya Vana, tackles precisely these issues. Mm-hmm. So what's the story behind this song?
The story behind Moya Umnar, I'm going to try to keep it kind of brief.
Yeah.
Because there's a musical side and a lyric side concept. The musical side is that my mom was listening to a lot of Ethiopian music, the kind that I don't listen to, the old kind of jazzy. She was listening to an artist, an icon. His name was Tilahon Gesese. I hope I'm saying his name right. And she was playing it a lot in the house. And then I came up with this line that goes because this isn't really pentatonic, you know, that I always go for. It's different scale. So this is like the beginning of how musically it sounded like. And then the concept, there's a great also little story that when I created this melody, I sent it to a Sudanese theater director. His name is Walid Elfi. He's also an important Sudanese artist. I did some plays with him, musical plays that also had all women. So I played him this melody and he decided to make it the beginning of an all-women musical play. It's called El Filelo Lele. It's amazing. It's on YouTube. So I feel like it's kind of just went into just, this is about women. This song is about women and the struggle of women and what they go through. Another thing I was thinking about is a close friend of mine. She was having trouble with her father, with her brother. They were kind of, you know, too extreme with her. And it was obvious just because she's a woman. So I wrote some lines about that. And also being in Egypt around women working, I heard some stories about, you know, being a wife and how that is like. So all of these things, I wrote some lines about in the song.
But it's in English. The song is in English?
The song is in Arabic.
It's in Arabic.
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually the first song that I write in Sudanese. It just came out like that. I like this song a lot.
Yeah, I'm very curious. So maybe it's because it's quite impossible to talk about Sudanese art, and you mentioned so many Sudanese artists, without addressing the current situation in Sudan.
Mm.
So how have you personally experienced the development of the recent years?
I mean, I feel like I'm still in shock, and I'm still, yes, kind of speechless, and I don't know what to say. And I think that I have been in this state of just being shocked and not knowing how to process all this tragedy. It, of course, has affected me and affected my extended family, my smaller family. It's really tragic, you know? And it's also important to say that Sudan has gone through really horrible times. There was war in 2003 in the western side of Sudan. And it's important that I mention it, because it's horrific to go through war, but it's more horrific when nobody acknowledges it, or talks about it, or knows about it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I feel like, that's what I can say.
Many artists had to leave Sudan.
Mm.
And you also, you grew up between Egypt and Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And does exile change your own artistic work? What influence does the diaspora have on your work?
Yeah. I feel like this is a question that I'm still thinking about, and still, I don't know how to answer it. But yes, I came to Egypt in 2004. It was really tough for my family to be in Sudan. It was hard, you know, we are an artistic family. My father is an artist. He was a lecturer in a university. Things were really tough for us. And then my mom decided to go to Cairo so we can seek asylum somehow. But I would say that definitely the years when I was in Sudan, for example, going back to study university, this is when I was most creative, so inspired, writing a lot, just like my emotions. I'm like, ta-da! Writing so effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
But also being in Egypt had gave me the opportunity to do lots of self-development. And yeah, I don't know if that's even answering the question, but I don't know. I can feel the effect, of course, of not being in your own land. And now with the extreme of things that are happening right now, it's also, that's a whole nother level of how is it affecting artists, you know?
Yeah. All the families.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only, yeah. But despite the crisis you mentioned long ago, and now, especially now, it's really tragic, the Sudanese music scene seems incredibly vibrant.
Hmm.
So especially in hip-hop and within the diaspora, what role does music play in times of war and uncertainty?
Yes, such an important role. I feel like when I was younger, I didn't really understand it, of like how the power of music, and music can be peaceful, is like the strongest weapon. But now I really do understand the importance of music and of art at these times. You know, these artists telling the stories, the story of, you know, their experience of being Sudanese, or what is Sudan like, this land, you know? It's not just that it's some country in Africa that is in, you know, in war, and it's all like about war. Of course, we need to talk about it, but also it's so important to talk about this war. What is it actually affecting? Like, what are the people like? What is their culture like? Mm-hmm. How rich is this land that is being destroyed? The potential of it, the potential of the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have such a strong, rich culture, rich land, and we need to yell that now.
So it's very political, the art and the music in Sudan.
I don't know. The songs don't even have to be, the artists that are doing so well right now, it doesn't even have to be like political. And talking about Sudan, khalas,
That's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah. It's fair.
Yeah.
Your debut album, Water and Fire, you translated. It's set to be released in the summer. So what's the story behind the title, maybe? Can you tell us? And what different themes do you explore on the album? Just maybe in short.
In short, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Water and Fire. So basically it's the state of being hopeful and helpless, helpless and hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this album, I've written this music really so many years ago. The songs on this album, 2014, 2013, 15, the newest one in 2019. And I think that this is the state where I was at. And you can feel it, if not lyrically, musically, is that, you know, this is a sad song. It's talking about something serious, about something string, but there is this hopeful side, that hopeful feeling that, you know, things might be better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would like also to mention that Moyonat, the single, was produced by A.B. Maruf, Abdullah Maruf, such a good friend of mine. And yes, I needed to say that. And the album, the whole album is produced by Muhammad Arki, a Sudanese artist.
Okay. So, and when will you present it?
Some days in the summer.
Not sure yet. Not sure yet.
But okay. I'm pushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't just work musically. You also work across disciplines together with your sisters in the collective, the El Jizuli Sisters.
Yes.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit how this came about.
Yes. So these Sally and May are two fireballs, the fireballs of my life. May, you know, we are an artistic family. But May, in 2007, she started to speak about, actually before that, she started to talk about, we need to do something together. And then I was like, okay, let's do it. I went and wrote a song, Rival, specifically for this collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some savings from doing live concerts in Khartoum. And then I was like, okay, we're going to use this money to buy a bit of fabric and stuff. So Sally did the costumes and she worked on the concept writing. And May was doing the directing and was leading this whole collaboration. Like, she was really like, let's make this happen. So grateful for that. And it was the first music video we did was zero budget, you know. The videographers that we worked with, they just helped us out. Ahmed Mahmoud, and I'm forgetting the names. But when we released it, it really made an impact, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really important for me that, you know, making quality work or work that you work hard on doesn't have to align with having money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, this is a tricky also thing. It's not something that we can be proud of, you know, the struggling artist. But it's also, it's good to shed some light there, you know?
Maybe just to explain, or for the listeners, this collaboration has resulted in award-winning music videos.
Yeah.
And they're very beautiful. I watched a few, really beautiful.
Yeah.
So this was a connection between music, art, and fashion. What was it that interests you?
I mean, it's in this case with Sally and me, it's beautiful because, you know, we're sisters. And it made things also so easy. I can just sit there and let me and Sally do whatever they want, and I'm sure that it's going to be beautiful. Sometimes they are critical of my music, which makes me sad. But whatever that they do, I know that it's going to be great. I believe in them and I feel lucky to work with them. So this is this side. But also working with other artists, it's just beautiful. It's pure joy. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to experience joy and to create and have fun and play.
You.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
So, but as we come to an end of this podcast, just to wrap it up, one final question maybe. So what are your hopes for the Sudanese cultural scene, and what do you hope for yourself personally, for your residency, but also beyond that?
Yes. I don't know, when I think about my people, whether it's people who are in any, you know, sector, I just wish for better times. I wish for more relaxed times and peaceful times for all Sudanese people. Yeah, and for myself, I'm so excited for what's to come. And for the live performances, to see how the audience, how the people of Vienna, I hope they come and watch and to see how they react to my music and to my dancing and to the Sudanese rhythms that I love so much. And for the collaborations to happen and, you know, some projects come out of this. I wish that I continue to practice music.
Thank you very much, Iba, for this conversation. There will be a lot of concerts in Vienna, but in all of Austria.
Yes.
And you can find information about Iba's residency online, including this concert dates in Austria. And this residency is a space for encounter between the diaspora and the local scene. It's a space for tradition and experimentation, and between political reality and artistic vision. And I think especially in times of global crisis, such cultural exchange programs are really gaining importance, because they enable visibility and they enable also long-term collaborations. And that's important because it connects people, it preserves memories, and it gives hope, as you said, also as in your songs.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening to this conversation with Hiba Ejizuli, a singer, songwriter, and artist in residence at Kulturen in Bewegung, the cultural initiative of the VIDC. Thank you.